Okay, by a show of hands, how many of you have been to camp before? Been a camper? Okay. And how many of those camps have used the buddy system? Did you always have to have a buddy with you? Yes. So as a camp counselor for 2 summers, the buddy system was the bane of my existence. Getting independent little kindergartners to understand that they always needed a buddy with them was a battle I never won. So I can't even begin to imagine the battle Jesus had when he told his grown disciples that they also always had to have a buddy with them. But we get a glimpse at the Jesus buddy system in Mark today, as Jesus sends his disciples out 2 by 2 to cast out unclean spirits, to heal the sick, and to proclaim the word of God. Now I'm almost done preaching 4 weeks in a row, and I can't say that I'm mad at the Jesus buddy system, because right now I think I need a buddy after preaching 4 weeks in a row. It isn't that easy. And maybe Jesus can send me out with a buddy for first call. Is that how it works? You get a buddy to go with you? Okay. But in all seriousness, the disciples were probably relieved with the Jesus buddy system. Jesus is sending them out 2 by 2, telling them to take nothing with them. Jesus is sending these disciples out to evangelize and fulfill his mission, relying solely on themselves with nothing else. But at least they'll have their buddy. The disciples don't just have to go out without any supplies, but they also have to rely on hospitality once they reach their destination. They have to go into an unknown city or village and live with those that they don't know. Jesus also commanded that they stay with their host during the whole stay, as they begin to meet people and possibly gain more fame or respect, they're not to move up to a nicer house or a nicer establishment, but rather stay with the folks that welcomed them in when they first arrived to the city or the village. In our rugged, individualistic society, this is difficult to wrap our heads around, to accept hospitality from someone else, to rely solely on someone else because we have no supplies. This is the last thing we want to do as Americans. We are taught from the time we are young to care for ourselves and always be prepared for any circumstance. Especially in this part of the country, we are to keep to ourselves and take care of our own. So can you imagine being required to accept the hospitality of others because you intentionally left everything behind? What would that look like? How would that feel? What would it mean to make ourselves so vulnerable and humble to receive the hospitality of others? We often don't put ourselves in situations where we need to have others care for us because it feels uncomfortable. At times, it may even feel unsafe to put our lives and needs solely in the hands of another person, all in the name of hospitality. This reminds me of another time during my camp counselor years, which I think you're all familiar, that camps send out counselors to lead a vacation Bible school at local churches. And when we would go to these local churches, the church was required to set us up with a host home. I always dreaded these weeks, not because I had to lead VBS, but because I had to stay in a host home. I had to stay in somebody else's space and let them care for me. There would be a few sites during the summer that the church had the means to put all of the counselors in one house on their own, and this was the most sought-after site, because none of us wanted to spend the week relying on someone else and being in their space and living with them. But what is that about? Why do we reject receiving hospitality from other people so much? We were always well taken care of and fed. The families that we stayed with were always kind. But we had to set aside our need to care for ourselves. We had to let some barriers down and let others care for us. We had to be vulnerable. And we had to open ourselves up in this way And we also, in opening ourselves up to receiving this hospitality, opened ourselves up to possible rejection. Maybe when we are required to ask for others to care for us, we feel our individuality being stripped from us because our society pushes for us to be able to care solely for ourselves and to keep our walls up at all times. So there's a risk. We keep our walls up so that the risk of rejection is low. It is so hard to accept and receive the hospitality from others, especially in a time of need. That's exactly what the Jesus buddy system requires of the disciples. Who knows what blessings might come from opening ourselves up to receiving the hospitality of others, to entering that space of vulnerability and allowing ourselves to be cared for. There will always be the possibility of rejection in opening ourselves up for hospitality. And Jesus understands that feeling of rejection. Jesus is not sending out the disciples blindly aware of how it might feel to be rejected, but rather Jesus just felt this deep sting of rejection. Jesus has just been rejected in his own hometown. He is rejected by his own kin. His people are rejecting his message. So Jesus totally understands what it feels like to be rejected. And don't we all know what it feels like to be rejected? Rejection cuts deep. It's a pain like no other, and it often leaves us unraveled and unsure of where to turn. It is definitely hard to find the good news in rejection. And yet, just as Jesus has experienced his own rejection, he gives the disciples some tips on what to do if they find themselves rejected. Jesus knows it is likely that the disciples will be rejected due to the radical message that he is sending them out to evangelize. He says, "If any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." And maybe we can insert the Taylor Swift song here about shaking it off. But why might these disciples not be welcome? We have to remember that the disciples